So for a wonderful illustration of this gospel, I invite you, if you haven't had the opportunity, because I'm not going to be preaching on the gospel today, but if you haven't had the opportunity to watch the show The Chosen, they do a beautiful depiction of the story of the woman at the well. So I invite you to go and see it. I think it's season two. I don't remember which episode, but it's like season two, season two, episode one or two, or maybe three. But anyway, go and see it. There's three seasons out, so go and see all three. You want to binge watch something? Binge watch Jesus. That's good to binge watch. Instead of all of those other ridiculous shows that are out there. Okay. Last week, we covered created, and we spoke about the question, why is there something out of nothing? Why am I here? Where am I going? And how God created us above all creatures to share in his perfect love. This week, we will cover captured. Why is everything so messed up? Sometimes we need to discuss the difficult things, things we don't really want to talk about, but they are necessary. We picture this with the stove and children. We don't want our children to get burned, and they like the bright red thing, and we tell them, don't touch the bright red thing because you'll get burned. We know the burner looks pretty, but don't touch it because you're going to get hurt. So all of these topics are difficult discussions, but they benefit us in the long run. Captured is the difficult faith topic in the kerygma. So here we go. There is evil and sin in the world. God gave us free will for a good purpose, freedom to choose his love and to choose loving and living according to his plan for each one of us. To force someone to love him or to force someone to love us is not love. In seminary formation, we were taught that evil is the absence of love. Love is a choice. An action. There is no neutral ground. We are either in the hand of God or in the hand of evil. There is sin in the world. According to the Catechism, sin is a deliberate thought, word, deed, or omission contrary to the eternal law of God. If God is love, sin is the choice not to love. As creatures, none of us are perfect in love, and so we sometimes choose wrongly, and therefore we sin. When we sin, we are turning our backs on God in that moment and in that choice. Good thing God loves us unconditionally. Satan is real, but only a creature. This isn't about the boogie monster, but this is important that we understand because we don't speak about it. If we don't know the enemy, we cannot fight an enemy we do not know. The church teaches that Lucifer was at first a good angel made by God for good. His name means light bearer. The angels also have free will. So Lucifer became evil by his own doing, by his own choice. God did not create evil. This is part of the story of the fall of some of the angels. We know him by many names: Satan, the devil, the evil one, the serpent, the ruler of this world, The name Satan means the accuser. The devil means the divider. According to C.S. Lewis, which I highly invite you to read, there is a wonderful book by C.S. Lewis, which is about 80 pages, which is called The Screwtape Letters. And it's a classic in the Catholic Church, but it's a junior demon writing to a senior demon on how to separate man from God. It's a wonderful book which you should read. According to C.S. Lewis, Satan has two main strategies: to get humans to think that the devil isn't real, and to get them to believe he is more powerful than he really is. So Satan is not just symbolic, not just an analogy. Satan is not a myth, as some professors would have you believe. Satan is not a myth. Satan is not a concept. Satan is real. He is powerful and he is smart. He knows scripture better than any human scholar. But Satan is not God's equal. Satan is just a creature. And in spite of his efforts to wreak havoc in the world, God is keeping him in his place. But we need to realize that on the stage of life, there is three people. There is you and me, there is God, and there is a third person. That third person hates you and is willing to do whatever it takes to separate you and me from God. I want that to sink in for a moment, which is why I'm not talking. What caused Lucifer to rebel? Because Satan hates us because of envy. Envy is one of the capital sins, a deadly sin that leads to other sins. It is never good or helpful. Envy, and we've spoken about this about a month ago, envy is the sadness we feel over the good fortune of another to the point that we wish that person didn't have that good fortune or it be taken from them. You see, Lucifer was called on by God to serve human beings of far less power and excellence, and to see us lifted above the rank of angels was more than he and the other angels who rebelled could stand. They would never want to serve us. In addition, Lucifer saw the plan of God and that God's Son would stoop so low as to become man to save mankind. Was something that he could not understand and he could not allow. And so Satan wishes to take what God has given us. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, it says, its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth. So a third of the angels rebelled and went to war. But they went to war not against God, but against us, Satan's goal is to destroy, enslave, and degrade us. So how do we fight this battle? I have a couple of favorite sports. Two of my top favorite sports is football, and my other one is going to sound a little funny, but I was very good at it, and so bowling. Now, I think we can all relate to this, but to be good at football or any sport, you have to spend hours practicing. But also, not only do you have to spend hours practicing, but football players and bowlers will do something when they're playing against somebody. They watch their tapes. Right? How did Kansas City prepare for the Super Bowl? By watching the tapes of Philadelphia, by getting to know them and all of their plays and all of their tricks and all of their hours. They spend hours watching the videos of the opposing team. So since to be effective in any sport, we have to study the competition. So to be effective in war, we must understand our enemy. And believe me, trust me when I say this, Satan is our enemy. Satan has a game plan that he has used time and time again. He used it on Adam and Eve, he tried it on Jesus, and he will use and has used it on us. He tries to convince us that God is not a good father, but rather is our adversary. Satan tells us again and again that we can't trust God, which is why we sin, that he doesn't care for us and that we'd be happier without him. If we understand this and the tactics he uses, we can recognize when we are being attacked and respond, with God's help, of course. So let's go over the tactics of the devil that he uses against us. Tactic one, he accuses. In the Garden of Eden, Satan accused God of not wanting Adam and Eve to eat from a certain tree because they would be like God, knowing good and evil. How about today? What about the case when someone gets sick or injured? Satan will accuse God. Why didn't he stop this? Why didn't he answer your prayers? He must not care. He can't be a good father. Perhaps he can't prevent it, or maybe he doesn't exist. Satan may accuse the parents. Why didn't they protect their child? Why didn't they follow the precautions? They must not care. And finally, Satan may accuse us. This was your fault. You brought it on yourself. That's tactic one. Tactic two, he lies. In the Garden of Eden, he tells Adam and Eve the lie. He tells them a lie. First, Adam and Eve catch him on the first lie because the devil comes to them and say, didn't God tell you couldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? And Adam and Eve catch that. And they say, no. God said that we couldn't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, but of every other tree we can eat. But then the devil tells him another lie, which is because God doesn't want you to be like him, don't eat this, and you certainly will not die. But their decision to disobey God brought pain and death to a perfect world and separation from God. In our life today, Satan will lie to us. such as you don't matter, you're never enough, you're not serving your family, you're not doing good enough. How could anyone love someone like you? Tactic 3, Satan, he divides. It is easy to seed suspicion and doubt about another person. So God said you couldn't eat of any of the trees in the garden. Satan is making a subtle suggestion that God wanted to limit them, that God was holding something back. In today's terms, someone may say, that seems strange that someone who claims to be your friend would say something like that. We also see how these small, subtle suggestions can lead to division in a family. Tactic four, he flatters. Flattery is simply saying something to someone in order to get what you want from that person. The enemy flatters by saying things like, you know, you had all this bad stuff happen to you, and you endured a tremendous amount of pain, so you are entitled to something back. You're entitled to something. You can fill that blank in with whatever you feel you're entitled to. Tactic 5, he tempts. This one, pretty obvious. We all understand temptation. Tactic 6, he discourages. He tries to discourage us and to get us to spiral down into deeper and deeper discouragement, where he can taunt, mock, and degrade us. Tactic 7, he distracts. And I think we can relate to this very well. Just sit down and try to pray for a minute. Satan will try to keep us from thinking about or focusing on God. He may distract us from participating in the Mass so that we go home without thinking about the readings. He may be distracting us right this second, and we're thinking about the lilies of the field instead of not hearing the homily. Or the sacrament we just received. We may sit down for quiet prayer, but that's when he reminds us of all of the tasks, all of the things we have to finish. Or that we need to get something to eat or drink before we pray. I think this is one of the devil's favorite tactics, because he doesn't have to do much to really distract us. I mean, it takes like a bird flying by a window and we're gone for 15 minutes, you know, in the church. He loves that one. And also because we have all kinds of technology that can be very helpful in our lives. TV, phones, internet, social media, computer games. It's easy for us to be conditioned by technology or addicted to technology, and that keeps us very distracted. So, Satan tactics are accuse, lie, divide, flatter, tempt, discourage, and distract. Why do we need to know these tactics? Because Satan is using them on us all the time. And because, my dear brothers and sisters, Satan is trying to pull us by our nose, and so many times we just kind of go along with it. You know, we just look at the birdie, and we go follow the birdie. His goal, Satan's goal, is to destroy our lives and ultimately to separate us from God. We can look at all these tactics and say, these are all the ways the devil is going to get me. Or we can say, now that I am aware of his strategy and tactics, The more I can see how he is working his tactics in my life now, the more I will be able to see them coming in the future, and the more I will know when to turn to God. But here's also another reason to understand, to know these tactics. When we understand how bad it could have been, then God's rescue mission is all the more amazing. Think about that for a moment. We can't understand that God sends his Son to rescue us if we don't understand first and foremost exactly how bad of a situation we are in to need salvation. When we understand how bad it could have been, that if God didn't send his Son, we would be stuck. Death would reign over us. Sin would reign over us. We would be alone in a prison cell with the evil one ready to pounce, left to our own capabilities. This is why God's rescue mission is all the more amazing, because the prison door will be opened. The evil one will be overcome. We don't have to stay captured. See you next week for rescue. What is God doing about it? Jesus, I give you a little foreshadowing of next week to give us a little hope as we leave, because I know we talked about some dark things. Jesus is the rescue mission. Jesus is going to free us from that prison. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. Do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith.